Welcome to the Legacy Leaders Podcast. Are you doing the best for your client to help them create their legacy? Are you creating a plan that goes far beyond finances to help people ensure that it becomes the driving force behind all decisions? On this podcast, hosts Katie Beth Hand and Stan Miller will help you with growing your practice and your clients' peace of mind. Together, they bring the best and brightest minds to share with you how to help your clients develop their best legacy. And now, here are your hosts, Katie Beth and Stan.
Welcome back to the Legacy Leaders Podcast with your hosts, Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. Our guest today helps take the guesswork out of the franchising process. Giuseppe Grammatico, thank you so much for joining us. We are so excited to have you with us today.
I'm excited as well. We got to chat. I had a good time. Really looking forward to the show.
Absolutely. So before we jump into our podcast directly, we always like to start by getting our guests to give our listeners just a little bit of their background. So obviously you're a franchising expert. Tell us a little bit about your background and why this is a passion for you.
Yeah, background. I'm first generation. My family's from Italy. So I learned English at the age of six and first member of the family to go to college. So that was the big deal, right? Going to college and getting that corporate job and that career. While doing that, I grew up in the Italian restaurant business that my family was in. Loved business ownership, didn't like the hours, and didn't like corporate America. So I was kind of stuck after years of doing both to realize that it wasn't a restaurant, it wasn't corporate America, but it ended up actually being a franchise in an industry I never would have thought of, which happened to be in building services and things like that. So I've been doing this for the last 20 years or so. I really enjoy it. I get to really help people. I know people always ask me, what's your success rate? And I go, success rate is really based off of who I get to help. And it's everyone either making the decision to buy a franchise or to keep their job. So I get to coach people the last 20 years and really help them make one of the biggest decisions that they can make. So
that's exciting. So talk to us a little bit about your area of expertise. And let's say I call and make an appointment, kind of walk us through the process of what that looks like.
Yeah. So everyone, I offer 20 minutes to everyone, a 20 minute intro call. We call it a intro right fit call. And really what that looks like is we're not franchise salespeople. We are here to simply say, what are you looking to do? Where are you stuck? Sometimes it's, I don't like my job. I want to own a business. Well, that's usually not a really good reason to wanting to own a business. So my job is really to educate and let people know that what are the investment ranges on a franchise? What does that look like? What are the standouts? And it's really not what most people think. Most people think you have to love the product or service, forgetting, you know, what the average day in the life is of a franchisee. If you're introverted and the franchisor wants you to go out there and sell and cold call, that's not going to work depending, you know, regardless of the service offering or the product. So I try to match people based off of interest, but more important than anything else, we want to figure out if you're okay with the way a franchise works and a franchise has a process, a franchise is going to have an agreement and a franchise is going to have a certain time frame that these businesses are going to be available. So we really get to, you know, bust a lot of the myths. Number one being, can you lose money with a franchise? Yes. Can you make a lot of money with a franchise? Absolutely. So we try to, you know, there's a lot of just misinformation. So we like to level the playing field, start from, you know, kind of the very basics and educate and answer questions along the way.
That's great. And you've helped thousands of people kind of do this. What are some of the mistakes that people make when they're trying to get into the franchise business?
Yeah, so they jump right in. So they do it themselves and they find a franchise that they love. I love the food or I love the service and that kind of deal. And they dive in and not having a clue as to kind of what goes along with the franchise itself. So there's a process. You know, we have a process. The franchise has a process and they skip certain areas. So the three main elements, and I won't get into a lot of detail, but it's having, you know, three or four initial calls with the franchise company to learn about them and figure out if you're a good fit. And then spending the equal amount of time on the second stage and actually speaking with franchise owners. People skip this step over and over again. They get you get a sales pitch, right? From the franchise company. They obviously want to make sure you're a good fit, but you need to speak with the people that are doing it day in, day out and ask them, would they do it all over again? And that area I notice is missed. And then the final is either meeting in person or virtually with the founders, the C-suite, and just solidifying your decision that this is the brand to go forward. So I think people just rush the process. They get super excited about the product and or the food or whatever is being offered. And the due diligence is very just high level. Let's learn what you do. And then they dive into it. You don't have to necessarily be a passionate about the product or service. You need to be very clear on your role and what you're doing day in, day out.
Very interesting. And I can see that because even as you were talking, I thought that would be me. I would find a food or food service, something that I'm very passionate about. And I could see myself being that person who would jump in and skip talking to other people, because the day-to-day running of a company is, I'm sure, very different than just the experience of, you know, experiencing the food or the product that they're selling. So wise words there. Certainly a mistake I can see others making as well.
Including myself, by the way, I started as well. The hot franchise in 2005, I'm not going to name names, but there were some food franchises I fell in love with. And then I realized it's the complete opposite of what I wanted to do. So I'm guilty as well. So you're not the only one. I see more and more people kind of fall in that area, and I just have to guide them through the process. And sometimes we end up going back to that initial franchise, but it's good to have that education and understand kind of what to expect.
Is there a certain type of person or phase of life that they're in, or, you know, background or resources that you find that you really look for when it comes to someone who you think will make a successful person getting into the franchising business?
Absolutely. Three key areas. Number one, you have to have money. I know, shocker. This is not a startup that you can slowly a couple hundred bucks here, a couple hundred bucks there. You know, there's going to be a franchise fee, and that franchise fee is going to be 10 to, you know, up to $100,000 as an entry point to get into their system, which you get full access to day one after paying that fee and going to the training, getting the support. So you need to have money. There are numerous ways to fund this, but this isn't a no money down type of deal. You have to have skin in the game. But the SBA, I know if you qualify, you could put 20 or 30% down on the total project cost. You need to have be able to follow a process. If you're going to buy a hamburger franchise and your first thought is what you're going to add to the menu, probably not a good fit for a franchise. Is there anything wrong with thinking outside the box? No. But at the same time, the whole point of the franchise is really to follow their system, have plenty of autonomy, and go about managing and marketing the business. But you're not there to really replace the service itself. And then lastly, it's time frame. And this is a big one that we've come across. If you want to explore franchising, you can start anytime. But if you're just say a year out or just over 6 months out, I don't recommend looking at brands. You can look at them online, but speaking with the company, because that brand more than likely won't be available. Just kind of like if you find a perfect home, you can't tell the homeowner, I'll come back next year to purchase it, or the real estate agent. So if you find something you like, you need to act on it, you know, securing a territory or location. But if you're, you know, just say a year out, I would just hold back on speaking with the franchise companies directly. Do your due diligence and research, learn as much as you can. But I would hold off until you have about a 6 month window.
That's good. Good advice. Stan, I've been taking up all of G's time. I will be quiet now and let you have a turn to ask some questions.
This is pretty exciting stuff because I don't remember exactly the data, but, you know, I've read that the success rate of somebody with a franchise is radically better than the success rate of somebody starting their own business from scratch, right? That's a pretty well-known fact, right? But you can probably speak to that with better data than I have.
Yeah, so, I mean, the reality is it should be. I don't have the exact numbers. And I did a show a while back on why franchisees fail. And that actually, this will provide some more insight. So why do they fail? And sometimes we find the perfect brand, but we get super excited and we get into, got to have the shiny new object or the equipment, and you overspend on inventory. So we've seen franchisees lose money because they were undercapitalized. They got really excited and they just spent too much. They forgot about their living expense after leaving their job. So when I coach people, go, if you're going to leave your job and go through savings, who's paying your mortgage? You're putting food on the table. Who's paying for insurance and things like that? So we always like to make sure we have a 6 month savings in starting any business, because we don't know how long that's going to take. And the other thing is buying the wrong business, as we talked about, just getting really excited about the product, buying it, having no idea what the day-to-day looks like, not doing any type of research in your area? Is there opportunity in your area? Is it oversaturated and things like that? So if you stack everything in your favor and you say, okay, I'm going to go with a brand that has a proven system, that has an operations manual, that has a turnkey marketing system that gets fed into a call center and takes a lot of this stuff off my plate. So less mistakes for me to make, but at the same time, you know, working on the business and reviewing those KPIs, finding a business that's a good fit for you. If you want few employees and you buy a fast food franchise that starts off with 20 employees, that's going to be rough. You know, you're now becoming more of a babysitter than anything else. So if you get super selective, and this is where I help people and what the ideal business looks like, and then look for the brands, I think that increases the odds of success. You still have to do your due diligence. There are some franchisors that don't make it, and they're maybe poorly managed or capitalized as well. So it's not just the franchisee. Not every brand is built the same. But if you spend the time and get really clear on what your ideal situation and ideal day looks like, and then go to market and see what's available, I think it's going to increase your odds significantly.
So this may not even be a fair question to you, but I'm curious to know what are some of your favorite franchises? And I'm guessing you're going to tell me that does depend on the skill, aptitude, and motivation of the franchisee. But within the context of that, are there some franchises that you like better than others?
Yes. So, assuming there's availability and it works within the parameters we discussed, I like things that are as recession resistant as we can get. We're not saying, you know, we're saying recession resistant, not recession proof, but we want to make sure, for example, what did we just go through with COVID? A lot of businesses shut down. You know, what businesses were not affected? So businesses like restoration, you know, one of my favorite types of businesses, a business where we're dealing with smoke damage, fire damage, leaky pipes, natural disasters. I live, right on the coast of New Jersey, and we get hurricane season every year. There's damage, there's flooding. This is, you hear ka-ching, ka-ching every time you hear hurricanes if you're on a restoration business, even just with the heavy rains that we've had over the last couple months. So they're recession resistant in that there's always going to be a demand. The economy doesn't necessarily affect them as much as some of the other businesses. So that's one area. Another area that is always in demand, and this is an area that's growing, is expense reduction. And it's like, what the heck is expense reduction? There are franchises that will walk into your small business and say, we, for free, so there's no cost for this initially, we will do a full audit of your expenses and show you ways to cut back on the expenses. In return for this service, and this includes negotiation with vendors, bringing other vendors, consolidation of vendors, we will split the savings with you. So you don't have to lift a finger, aside from letting us know who your vendors are and giving us permission to contact them. Whatever we save you over the next 2, 3, up to 5 years, we will split the savings 50-50, and it doesn't cost you anything up front. So that's always going to be a demand for that. So those are two areas that have significant different investments that require, you know, two different things. One is going to be more going with a van with equipment. The other one is going to be going business to business, a little bit more B2B. But these are areas that are growing, and I see them continuing to grow.
If you get a phone call from somebody, and in that 20-minute conversation you're having, are there some tells, some clues that would suggest to you that this person is really not going to be a good fit?
Yes. We have a lot. Maybe I shouldn't give this away. They don't want to follow my process. That's the easy hurdle. Some people are late, obviously. We get it, and we do video chats and things like that. And I know some people have been zoomed out. They don't want to be on video, and that's fine. But we schedule that 20-minute video or regular phone call, and they want to rush the process. So that's right there, a red flag. And I've told people on those calls, hey, this isn't going to work out, where, for example, they would ask, I get it. I read your book. I listened to your podcast. Just spit out some brands, you know, just tell me some brands. And I say, well, we don't know. We don't know, you know, even if I like the brand, we don't know if it's available. We don't know if you can afford it. Will you qualify? What's your net worth? What's your liquidity? There's so many factors. And, you know, on our second call, we really kind of craft what the ideal business looks like. But if you cannot follow our simple process of three calls, under an hour, and on call number three, discussing three brands. If you can't follow that, there's no way you're going to be able to follow a franchise system that's going to be a lot more geared towards process. And, you got to, for example, talk to the franchisor first and then the franchisees. The franchisor doesn't want you talking to all the franchisees initially because you don't know enough about the business. You want to craft those questions based off the insights and what you've learned. So if you can't follow the process, our process, you probably aren't a good fit for a franchise. That's the biggest one. I'm trying to think of others, but
that one makes
that's
sense.
That's the one that stands out.
If you can't follow a really simple process from the start, it's probably not going to go well for you when you get into franchising, because that's the whole point, right? Is that we are recreating these same flows and charts and systems. So if you don't like flows and charts and systems, then that's probably not for you.
It's
that
not.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
You mentioned your book. Talk to us a little bit about your book, Franchise Freedom. And the tagline on everything that I love is freedom favors the bold. So tell us a little bit about your book and what our readers could expect from that.
Yeah. So the book, and here's a little plug here. I know, very yellow. It captures very eye catching. The new version isn't going to be as bold or bright, but it's really the blueprint. It's all my research, everything I went through. I try to put in a book. It's 48 pages. It's not a complete, you read the book and then you find your franchise, but it talks about not just things about franchising, but building teams. So, through my careers, and I built both, wealth and my estate planning and everything via teams. And, we have an attorney, estate planning attorney, which also does all my other, legal work, a franchise attorney, which specifically does franchise reviews, your accountant and CPA, your financial advisor, hopefully your franchise consultant and whoever you decide. But it talks about aspects of things I learned. So building that team, and more importantly than that team, because you can find people online, is people that work together. And that's what I did. I started with a financial advisor who referred me to an accountant, who referred me to a legal team. Three women that head the team, they go out, I think, every quarter and have drinks and do things socially. And they're able to discuss with one another the accounting and the legal end, which is the full picture. It's the true and only true way to, it's, I call it the holistic approach, where you're looking at all aspects, not just the tax consequence or the legal consequence. There's a little, I call it Dr. Phil in there, where we talk about, talking to your family before buying a business. Why are you doing this to begin with? Mom and dad maybe are starting a business. We may not be able to go on vacation this year, or I'm going to be working certain nights and weekends, but the reason I'm doing this is so that we create X, Y, and Z. I could become a soccer coach. I can, we can travel the world. We can vacation to Europe more often and things like that. So it's getting on the same page with your family, because, business and personal, it's not, they're not separate, right? They're all connected. So we want to make sure that everyone knows what's going on, so they don't feel alienated or they're being ignored. So I talk about all the general stuff. So it applies for a franchise as well as a non-franchise business. We get into funding options. We get into, thinking about, not the options out there, but what does your ideal day look like, and how do you map that out? What are the 10 to 12 pillars you should consider in owning a business, from your employees to your location to the investment, and the list goes on. So it's really a good way to get some thoughts down on paper, so that when we speak, you kind of have an understanding of the process, but you kind of have an understanding of, in a perfect world, I would like my life to look like this, my average day to look like Y, and that kind of deal. And I want to leave my job in the next 12 months. So it's a great exercise just to kind of plan things out, which I get a lot of feedback. People are like, it's a quick read and it really helps on the initial calls.
Makes perfect sense. So beyond just the book, which is available on Amazon for our listeners, and we can link that as well, talk to us about Franchise Freedom, your podcast. What can our listeners expect from your podcast, and why should they listen?
What to expect. So we're going to hopefully hit a 200 episodes here in the next couple months. And I started during COVID, February of right before of 2020, wrote the book in March of 2020. What to expect? Exactly what I answer your questions exactly the way you ask me your questions. There's a book called They Ask, You Answer by Marcus Sheridan. There's, I think it's six different categories. I just recorded a show in each category, five categories. So I did a show in each category and I asked your exact questions, not the questions I think you have, but your exact questions. Like, can I lose money with the franchise? Can I run a franchise part-time? What are my funding options? I don't sugarcoat. I tell you exactly, these are your options as far as funding. You may or may not apply. These are things to do. That's part of it. We bring on professionals. We bring on attorneys and CPAs and people that do estate planning. And we cover different categories. And we bring experts in on occasion with the new version of the show. But we're simply just answering questions that we get. And sometimes we dive a little bit deeper on future episodes as more and more questions come up. So if you have a question, email us, let us know, and we'll probably create a future show based off that question.
Very cool. That is a great idea. Stan, what other questions do you have for you, Giuseppe, before we wrap up?
I really don't have other questions, but I do think that it's just what you do sounds really, really, really useful. Because I think, we run into people all the time who aren't happy with their life, happy with their career track, and they look across the fence and see that the grass is greener. That's an expression we use, in our part of the world. And I think it's really great to know that there's somebody out there as a coach who honest and straightforward and suggest to them that maybe they need to cool their jets a bit, reflect more thoughtfully, drill more deeply, and do more due diligence and bring perspective to it. I think what you do is really looks like an interesting career. It looks like you enjoy doing this too.
I enjoy it. It's just me. You always get me, but that's it. There's no right or wrong answers, and that's the biggest thing that I learned over the years is that there's no right or wrong. There's no best way to fund. There's no best franchise. If you're not comfortable spending $250,000 or more in a franchise, maybe something brick and mortar may not be a good fit. So you have to sleep at night. You need to be comfortable with your decision. So stop looking for the best and the worst and things like that. Figure out what you want the life to look like. And where people get stuck, and I'm going to quote another book from Dan Sullivan, Who Not
Oh, yeah.
How, people get stuck on the how. And that's what happens. I have a startup. I write a business plan. They do nothing with it. It sits there for 10 years. And then I should have done this, or I regret doing that. I hear that all the time. So change it to one little thing. Instead of how do I do it, who's going to help me get there? So maybe it's Stan, maybe it's myself, maybe it's Katie Beth. Who's going to help me get to that point? You can leverage their experience. Whether there's a cost or not, but you can leverage the experience as well as the connections that we all bring to the table to get us to that next phase. And maybe that next phase is you should never own a business because you have these reservations and you can't get past it. So maybe the timing isn't right at this time. Great. At least you've kind of put that aside and maybe you go back to it, several years later. But figure out the who's instead of the how's. The how's cause anxiety. The who's who sounds like a Dr. Seuss book. The who's can actually help you figure out and leverage because I can't help everyone. Someone that really I thought was a better fit to keep their job, but maybe the employer wasn't the right fit or industry. I put him in touch with one of our guests. He creates LinkedIn profiles and works with career people that are not career transition, but help with kind of like an executive recruiter and help them figure out and assess where their careers are. So I've referred people back there because that's not my forte, but I do real my forte is figuring out if you're a good fit for a franchise. So do that. The how gets overwhelming. So just find and maybe list five people that can maybe assist you. Buy them lunch. Spend the day with them. Maybe it's an extra hand for the day where they don't have to pay you. Who's going to say no to that? But I would highly recommend just finding five who's in the next 30 days.
Yeah,
That's
that's good advice.
wise
By the way,
words.
that Dan Sullivan book is really terrific. That's been an inspiration for me, and I've been working really hard lately myself to follow Dan's advice on that.
The who's, you got to get your five. That's your homework too. Get your five.
Yeah, right.
So we're always looking for people, but I think it's basic advice and it's not earth-shattering stuff, but I've noticed going back to the basics, it's as simple as that. But talk to people, talk to other business owners, watch who you take advice from. It's nice to talk to family at Thanksgiving about owning a business, but maybe it's your aunt or uncle or cousin telling you, that's really risky, and they've never owned the business before. They've never actually experienced it. They've never gone, as I did, months without a salary, after leaving my job. How does that feel? Well, unless you went through it, it's pretty hard to explain. So really watch who you ask advice from. You want to talk to people that have done it. Same thing with a consultant. Have you owned franchises? Have you owned non-franchises? How can you help me if you've never owned the franchise? So even, if you're interviewing consultants or any in anything you're doing, find out their backgrounds, make sure they're a good fit for you as well.
Very wise words. Well, for all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. This is the Legacy Leaders Podcast with your hosts, Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. Our guest today is Giuseppe Grammatico. And for more information on Giuseppe or to connect with him, you can visit ggthefranchiseguide.com. And we will also link that for you in the show notes. You can also check out his podcast, Franchise Freedom, and his book, Franchise Freedom, A New Manifesto for Your Financial and Time Freedom, which you can find on Amazon. Giuseppe, thank you so much again for joining us. This was great.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure. Had fun.
You've been listening to the Legacy Leaders Podcast with Katie Beth Hand and Stan Miller. For more information on them and the show, please visit pinnaclelegacylaw.com. If you like what you've learned today, do share the program with your friends and subscribe wherever podcasts are found.